this is Rick Caselles from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today, I have another interview for you, and we're focusing in on knee pain and knee injuries, but more specifically when it relates to the athlete. So I have Anthony on the line, and I'm going to interview Anthony when it relates to knee pain and knee injuries in athletes. So Anthony, I'll get you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. As you said, my name is Anthony Michael. I graduated from Pitt and another local school here in Pennsylvania where I live with a degree in exercise, health and physical activity, education. And I was a teacher for a little bit, and a little bit of my athletic background would be that I came from kind of an acrobatic base, an underground acrobatic base, and moved on to basketball. So when it comes to the fitness industry, I kind of am hugely interested in the athletic side, and that's kind of how I got to blogging and where I am today.
Okay. So you're saying you're like an acrobatic background. What do you mean by acrobatic background?
Well, way back, and probably like, I guess 2001, I started, it's called tricking. It's an underground form of, you know, acrobatics where people just kind of flip, kick, and twist for no real apparent reason other than it looks cool. So yeah, way back in like ninth grade, I was already pretty, pretty active in, you know, the athletic space. So, it was definitely an interesting time period. And, I broke my foot in quite a few places last January doing it. So I'm slowly getting back into it, but it's kind of a huge part of where I came from and one of the reasons why I'm so, interested and focused on the athletic side of things.
Okay. So, I mean, let's get into your, you know, knee pain story. Like, I know you kind of have had a journey when it comes to your knee pain and knee injuries. Maybe you can share a little bit with the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. A journey is kind of an understatement, though, when you consider everything. But again, bringing back the whole tricking bit. So way back in about 2001, like I said, my knees were already asked to do a lot of things whenever you're in your backyard kind of jumping around doing backflips. It takes its toll. And then in 2005, I started to get involved with basketball a lot more. So I played basketball almost every day. And that's when my knee really started to aggravate me. And then later I got involved in the barbell space and, you know, the whole fitness industry, and I started squatting and deadlifting regularly, and then it acted up even more to the point where it hurt walking up steps, getting in and out of my car, and I was just in a world of pain. And in 2008, 2009, I decided that I had to do something, and that if I didn't, I probably wouldn't be able to do much whenever I was older, and I didn't want to be crippled by the time I was 30. So 2008, I really dove into the issue, and I tried to find out and learn as much as I could. I experimented, I practiced, and everything I found out, I kind of documented, and after it was all said and done, and I experimented with the method, I kind of wrote a book about it.
Cool. Now, I was reading, maybe we can kind of talk about this. What do you think the difference is when it relates to, like, athlete knee pain and then the non-athlete knee pain? We were kind of talking about this a little bit before the call. Do you have an opinion or thought on that?
Yeah, I think the athlete, just by nature of what they do, that they're at a lot higher of a risk. And by that I mean for like more serious injuries. And even this the actual injury called jumper's knee, it's reserved for people that do a lot of jumping, and it's a more severe form of tendonitis. So the average person who just has some knee issues here and there, there's a good chance they're not going to reach that debilitating chronic, like, tissue degeneration of like jumper's knee and tendinosis, because, you know, they don't have like a sport demand. They're not forced to practice or do any high intensity activity. So it's not so much that the injuries are different. I think it's just that an athlete, by nature of what they do, they're more apt to break their body down through training in their high intensity activities.
Very true. Good point. Now, one article that I was reading on your blog was kind of talking about how, you know, one's body position when it relates to athlete changes when it relates to knee pain. Maybe you can kind of talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is something that didn't really occur to me until after I started experimenting and putting things into practice. But after I started to really get into the knee pain space and trying different things, I found out that if I use my hips a little bit more and my forefoot, so, you know, the joints above and below the knee, if I put them into practice a little bit more and focused on them, that it had a huge effect on how my knee felt. So to better utilize and engage my hips and my feet, I noticed that I had to alter the way my body moved and my body position during almost every activity. And after a little while, it just became, it became an unconscious thing. And I just started to move differently, and my body started to activate different muscles at different times. And I just kind of felt like a different person. And I truly believe that that's one of the big things that you have to do if you want to conquer any kind of chronic, long-term knee pain.
Okay. And I know when I see clients, a lot of times what they'll say to me is that they have knee pain or they have knee injury and they need to focus in on strengthening their knee. Now, is just, you know, strengthening, you know, their knee enough? Is that enough to overcome their knee injury and knee pain?
No, it isn't in almost 99% of the cases, because if you believe that you need to strengthen the knee to get rid of knee pain, then you almost kind of believe that your problem is that you have a weak knee. And most cases, your knee isn't weak. It's just, it's being forced to do too many things. So it's kind of like the classic, the way I put it is it's like an assembly line, like a classic assembly line job where everyone has its own duty. And if, you know, people on either end of the assembly line don't do their job, then one person's going to start getting really mad because they have so much more responsibilities and work to do. So it's not so much that it's a strength issue. It's just that it's being asked to do too much, plain and simple. So I'm not a big believer in strengthening the knee, because I think it only adds to those responsibilities. So again, back to the assembly line thing, if one person is feeling overloaded because people aren't doing their job around them, if you give them more responsibility and more things to do, it's only going to revolt that much more and just be overall a worse situation. So not a big fan of strengthening the knee in that respect, you know, or the whole idea that the knee is weak and that you have to strengthen it in order for it to feel better.
Okay. And then, like, what would be, you know, some other things that they need to kind of consider when it comes to overcoming their knee pain?
Well, again, I'm a big analogy guy. So I like to, in the actual book, you know, I compare knee pain to baking cakes, and again, the assembly line thing. So whenever you think about the assembly line, if you strengthen the parts around each individual piece, you're going to make whatever's in the middle a little easier feeling. And that's kind of hard to conceptualize, but basically the more stress you take off, the thing that's hurting, the better it's going to feel. So if you really shore up the hip and make sure it's doing its fair share, if you shore up the foot and make sure it's doing its fair share, you're going to have a happier knee. And I kind of relate that to just electricity flowing through the system. So again, if the hip does what it's supposed to do and the foot does what it's supposed to do, the knee's going to be happy. If either one of them doesn't, then the knee's not going to be in too good of a shape to do much of anything.
Okay. Excellent points about looking above and below the joint for help and the answers. Now, you know, I'm an individual. I've overcome my knee pain and injury. Now, what would be like your number one tip for me in order to kind of maintain good knee health?
My number one tip, and just from an exercise standpoint, biggest tip would be to keep tabs on your hip flexor and quad stretching. Almost exclusively, a lot of people that regress because they aren't doing a quad and hip flexor combination stretch, which is huge because that stretch kind of tones down the rectus femoris, which is a lot of the times aggravated and overworked. And that stretch just soothes the lower body. I kind of think of it like as a Band-Aid. So if you're hurt, you put a Band-Aid on something, it kind of makes it feel better. It doesn't necessarily fix it, but it just makes it feel a lot better. So I think one of the great things about the program I set up in An Athlete's Guide to Knee Pain is that it's kind of like a life program in that you never really stop the rehab, because if you change how you move and through body positionings and the things I mentioned earlier, then, you know, that stuff sticks with you for life. But what can hurt you is if you don't keep up with the small stuff, like if you sit down a lot and your hip gets kind of bottled up and you skip a couple stretching sessions and the next thing you know, your knee's starting to feel a little foggy and you kind of just start to spiral downhill. The reason why that happens is because you're not taking care of the small things. And 99% of the time, that small thing is that quad hip flexor combination stretch. And I see that almost exclusively. So it's something that you gotta do. You gotta find a way to get the time in every day. It's only a couple minutes, but I do that regardless if you had knee pain.
Okay. So maintenance, right? You know, important to kind of maintain the body in order to kind of fend off those aches, pains, and injuries. Now, you've mentioned your book, and I've got I bought it, and I have a copy of it, and I think it's fantastic, and it's excellent. Kind of like what I was saying, I mean, you know, there's lots of information out there when it comes to, you know, the general public when it relates to knee injuries and knee pain, and it's really nice to have something out there that is kind of really targeted to the athlete, because the athlete, they put a lot more stress and strain on the knee. It's kind of like you know, the general public might just be a commuter car, while an athlete is kind of like a sports car. They demand, they're putting more stress and demand more from their vehicle. And so sometimes the tweaking and the job that's done is a little different on each. So about your book, maybe where did the idea come from when it relates to your An Athlete's Guide to Chronic Knee Pain?
Well, that first of all, that's a great point about the cars. I really like that analogy because it fits. And that kind of is exactly what we talked about earlier, that the sports car really just kind of demands that much more attention and it puts that much more stress on what's ever inside of it. But the idea for my book came because around the time that I started experimenting, and this was like 2008, 2009, I searched everywhere. I mean, I had a couple doctor's visits, and I always recommend, you know, checking in with a physician just because you have to rule out any serious injury. And as soon as you rule out serious injury, then it's kind of time to get your hands dirty. And that's what I did. And I searched around, and I really couldn't find anything other than generalized websites. And you can even check out some forums that existed back then and my YouTube video where I actually posted of my knee. I kind of just reached out to everyone I knew and anywhere I could and tried to find out if anybody had any leads or any resources where, you know, it was like specific to the athlete. Because that's what I was, you know, I did a lot of high intensity activities specific to the athlete that dealt with chronic knee pain. Because at that time, I probably had, you know, fits with it for about 4 years. So whenever I actually started to make progress on it, I just told myself, I said, you know, if I don't do anything about this, if I keep this to myself, then I'm doing everybody an injustice, because whenever I was back in, you know, feeling down about my knee pain and I couldn't find anything, you know, this is exactly what I would have wanted in my hands. And so I decided that I had to start writing about it and I had to get it out there. So the idea, I mean, it almost was an after the fact kind of thing, because you know, it's not like I set out to, I'm just going to study knee pain and find out everything I can and throw it out there. It was, you know, I suffer from it. I need to fix it. And then once I did, I just thought that I had to get the word out there of what can be done and help people from feeling so hopeless, because that's kind of how I felt. You know, it's just a hopeless feeling whenever you have a problem that you can't fix.
Cool. It's a great guide. And then, okay, before we get close to wrapping up, I wanted to ask you one thing. I know you just have an article that you just put up on my friend's Travis Stetzel's site. I ran into him a couple weeks ago down in California, and you were talking about mobility. So maybe you can kind of share a little bit with us when it comes to, you know, you know, is there any benefit to mobility? Because I know your article is titled, Are Mobility Drills Helping or Hurting Us? So maybe you can kind of give us some insight on that article you did on Travis's site.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of my favorite articles to write, just because I think it just as an industry as a whole, it's kind of, there's a lot of information out there. And specifically with mobility, there's just a ton and ton of drills, and it kind of happened throughout this knee pain process where I, you know, a lot of people say that you have mobility problems here, 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 and here, and here's like five exercises for each to shore it all up, and the next thing you know, you have like a 25 mobility exercises that you can do, and it just kind of gets overwhelming, you know, after I went through the whole chronic knee thing, I kind of looked at all the drills I was doing and I tried to simplify it down to what was useful at the time. And after I you know, got rid of my knee pain, I looked at all these exercises and, you know, I just asked, like, what are they doing for the general population that isn't really hurt? Like, so is the isolated ankle mobility exercise really helping us squat, or is it just getting us better at that isolated exercise? And if you check out any of the other stuff you write, I'm a big believer in skill. And what I mean by skill is that skills are specific to themselves. And this is kind of big in the tricking, that acrobatic community that I was talking about. People ask me about like squatting and deadlift as it relates to skills and doing all these acrobatic maneuvers. And at some point you just have to get specific to whatever it is you want to do. So if you want to do a backflip, you got to practice backflips and not necessarily squat. So whenever you look at mobility, it's, you know, if you want to have the mobility to squat, at some point in time, you're going to have to squat down and just practice that bottom position no matter what mobility exercises you're doing. So from a skill and specific standpoint, you know, I believe that it's so much easier and better to teach mobility that's specific to what you want to accomplish. So you, if you want to squat deep, you got to squat deep. If you want to be able to rack the front squat, you got to practice that rack position no matter how many wrist mobility exercises you do. It's not going to transfer over really well unless you get under the bar and actually do it. So I just think that mobility needs to be simplified from a skill and specific skill standpoint.
Okay. Very cool. So definitely, I mean, if you're interested, it's a good read. Head over to Travis's site. It's travisstetzel.com. Okay, we're kind of wrapping up the interview. Where can people get, you know, more information about you, Anthony?
My main website, which is also my blog, it's just anthonymichael.com, and that's Anthony, and Michael is spelled M-Y-C-H-A-L, which I'm sure will be around somewhere. And that's kind of the hub where I post most of my information, and soon I'm also going to be linking to other places I appear. So if you want to catch all of my stuff and you're interested in other things I have to say, that's definitely my home, and I post there usually twice a week. The days are, they revolve, but usually twice a week I get some kind of content up there. So that's where you should head if you are any interested in what I have to say.
And I'm quite sure you'll hear more about Anthony. He's been doing lots of writing when it comes to the bigger populations or bigger, you know, magazines. The larger blogs out there, and he writes some great stuff. So definitely take a look over at his site. So Anthony, I wanted to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me. It's been a pleasure. And I don't know if you're going to hook this up in any way, but if there's any way I can help anyone listening here, if there's like the comments or anywhere, I'd be glad to answer any questions that come through about this video or podcast.
Interview, whatever.
Interview, whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of words.
Lots of stuff. Okay, well, thank you very much, Anthony. And thank you very much, exercisesforinjuries.com listeners. I hope this interview has helped you out when it comes to looking at knee pain when it relates to the athletes. So we will see you on the blog. I mean, please visit the blog or the podcast when it comes to other information, you know, written information or interviews or videos when it relates to exercise and injuries. So this is Rick Kaselich saying thank you, take care, and bye-bye.